This is The National Conversation with All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Martin.
And I'm Ari Shapiro.
I'm sorry to hear that you're going to be closing up soon. It's been a great run. Thank you so much.
What we can do to help with you guys to stay on?
I run home to listen to your program.
It's so comfortable to hear your voice.
I so appreciate you all taking all these questions, getting us answers. Like, information is such a comfort.
I am going to really miss that show. That has been such a help to me personally. Thank you for your work.
I'm positive that all of you get to return to your normal life, but I'm really going to miss the program.
So I'm hoping you'll bring it back, because it's very helpful, and there's really no place else that I know to go to get answers to questions about what's going on in this coronavirus environment.
Thanks again for a great show and for giving me hope. Namaste.
Goodbye now.
We have received thousands, literally, of questions on the show from you. And one of the things that's been fascinating is that there are some questions that we got over and over and over again.
And so we wanted to go back to those questions that keep coming up. And one of them is about the role for homemade hand-sewn masks. And way back in March, Dr. Anne Ramoyne, an epidemiologist at UCLA, got out ahead of the CDC's guidance to wear them.
These masks can play a very important role. Non-surgical masks. Leave the surgical masks and the N95s for healthcare workers.
And if you've got a sewing machine, it can't hurt to make one from scratch.
Please make masks and cover your mouth.
We also got a lot of questions in our Making Choices segments about how to socially distance in person. This was something kids were particularly concerned about, of course.
If it's not ending anytime soon, is it okay to play Friends?
Outside, 6 feet apart, masks on, would you give a green light for that?
Yeah, that actually sounds pretty reasonable. I would add to that list making sure you have hand sanitizer everywhere. And, you know, so if somebody touches a, you know, picnic table and somebody else comes by later, you know, that you're hand sanitizing to prevent transmission, you know, on top of wearing the mask. But that seems like a pretty reasonable thing to be doing.
Good but careful news from Dr. Celine Gounder, an epidemiologist and professor at NYU. And it really highlights one of the things we talked about again and again on this program, the continuum of risk and how many choices people have to wrestle with every day.
Okay, so here are two more related questions that we got a lot, probably because we're all thinking about summer. First of all, can you get the virus from mosquitoes? And second, can you get it from swimming in the water?
So first, good news. I'm going to quote Dr. Ashish Jha, who we heard from many times, including earlier today. And he said that there are no known cases of blood transmission of the virus. And quote, I wouldn't worry about mosquitoes at all, unquote.
As for swimming, it's a bit more complicated. Here's Dr. Ben Levine, a professor of internal medicine at a University of Texas hospital.
Freshwater lakes, salt water, the ocean is great. It's a big open space, and you don't have to worry about the virus living in the water or contaminating it as you swim by. In fact, even chlorine is pretty darn good at killing the virus. The problem with pools isn't the water, it's everything around it.
Stuff like the benches, the diving board, the sides of the pool.
He's making that less fun than I had hoped. But anyway, all right, our turn, host choice. Ari, what was one of your favorite moments?
You know, I'm always going to remember an interview with a 14-year-old named Archit Kalra, whose whole family had gotten sick with COVID-19. His grandfather, tragically, had died. And what amazed me was that even while Archit was dealing with his own grief, he set up a website for other kids to talk about what they were going through.
We can't have family gatherings. It's so difficult to communicate with people virtually, especially like with things such as funerals. It's really difficult. So I just wanted to create a platform for people to share their stories.
And Michelle, to me, this just speaks to the selflessness and creativity that we have seen all throughout this pandemic, where people going through the most difficult times of their lives are still thinking of others. Okay, your turn. What about you? What was one of your favorite moments?
Well, I have to say, our girl, Samin Nosrat of Salt, Fat, Acid, Heat fame.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll admit it, Ari, was a little slow to get on the Samin Nosrat bandwagon, but I'm all in because you talked about selflessness and creativity, and she came up with this idea that she wrote about in the New York Times about having everybody make lasagna one night. You know, at first I thought, why? But then, you know, I got into it, and then I started seeing people, you know, all over Twitter and other social media platforms say making their noodles, making their sauce. And it just turned out to be one of those nice things that we needed. You know, we need some nice things.
The act of sharing is so fulfilling and gratifying And not being able to do that in my house has been really sad. So I think part of it is just honoring that sadness.
Okay, so those were our host favorites, but we also want to give our staff a chance to talk about what they learned.
So without further ado, here is the staff of the National Conversation and what they learned.
This is Saraya Muhammad. I learned from Retta to be confident on Zoom, invest in hats and scarves.
Monica Evstatieva. Have a 15-minute designated worry time per day.
This is Dave Blanchard, and my lesson is that if you're not seeing COVID in your community, it's not a sign that it's not widespread, but it might be a sign that it's hitting another community that much harder.
Caroline Kelly. I didn't know about travel nurses and the roles they play in underserved communities, but now I do.
I'm Travis Larchuk, and one thing I learned is that booking a Zoom dentist appointment could actually be helpful. And now my back teeth don't hurt anymore.
Hi, this is Mia Venkat. No matter how badly I want to, it is not worth it for me to cut my own quarantine bangs.
This is Eric Maripodi. If you think you're prepared, double check and then check again. Because when it's bad, it can be real bad.
This is Simone Popperl. My big takeaway is that while there's a ton that we still don't know about this virus, we know a lot more than we used to, even just a few months ago.
This is Maria Moraiva. I think that expert advices aired on this show have helped me to maintain my mental health during quarantine.
Lauren Nagaki, if you, like me, are a little anxious about the future, focus on just the next 2 days.
Claire Lombardo, I learned what pickleball is. Because of social distancing, doubles pickleball probably is not a great idea. But singles pickleball is probably still fine.
Barry Hardiman. Kids need to be social even in quarantine, so try the double bubble. Find another family to share your quarantine pod.
Ashley Westerman. And the thing that this show has taught me is patience, and that it's okay to not know all the answers right now.
This is Jeff Pierre, and if you ever want to sound really smart, instead of saying you want to wash your hands with soap, say you want to wash your hands with a surfactant.
Wynn Davis. We are all working from home right now, and you are not expected to be as productive as you would be if you were in the office. So give yourself a break, and don't look at your day in terms of what you didn't get done, but look at what you did get done and count your wins.
Will Jarvis, the best advice came from Chef Samin Nosrat. There is no shame in eating breakfast for dinner.
This is your technical director, Neil Tewalt, and I learned that Ari Shapiro has a wheelhouse. And we've all been living in it.
Dahlia Mortada, I've learned that we better get creative socializing while social distancing, because we're going to be in this for a while, and we need each other.
Also, thanks to our technical directors, James Willits, Natasha Branch, and Peter Elena, engineering help from Tom Marquito, and an extra special thanks to reporters and editors on NPR's science and business desks.
Finally, thanks to Sarah Gilbert, Nancy Barnes, and John Lansing. I'm Michelle Martin.
And I'm Ari Shapiro, and this is The National Conversation with All Things Considered from NPR News.